What's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 83 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of the Sporting News, The Athletic, Cubs Insider, Bet Chicago, and Cloud City Chronicle. And I'm bringing you episode 83. No Cubs game on Monday, no NL Central games on Monday. So I pieced together what I could to give you three awesome segments. I'm going to talk a little bit about MLB draft and who the Cubs took in the first round on our first segment. That'll be brief. Then we'll go into the second segment where I'll welcome Kelly Wallace. We'll answer some questions together from the fans. And final segment, we'll each talk about a personal project we have going on. For her, it's a baseball site. For me, it's a website with a little bit more geared towards entertainment and TV and movies. So stick around for that. There's some really cool stuff that we're going to talk about in those two segments. So first thing I want to talk about is Nico Hoerner. That is the college shortstop that the Cubs drafted in the first round in the MLB draft. I know that there are other picks that have been made by the time you're listening to this, but I have not seen them yet. All I know is Nico, their shortstop that they took. I talked to Spencer Hansen of 2080 Baseball, who is my guy who does talent evaluation. He's seen Nico play in person, and he can tell us a little bit about who this player is and what he does, and this is what he has to say. He has solid bat-to-ball skills. He uses the whole field, has an advanced approach, does struggle to identify off-speed pitches at times. He has fringe range, average arm strength and accuracy, good athleticism, above-average runner, but not overly aggressive. Give him every shot to play shortstop, but he ends up at second base probably. It's a good makeup guy, also some potential untapped pop with some professional development. Relatively high floor as a utility guy, ceiling probably as an average everyday guy up the middle. So it sounds like the Cubs took a guy in the back end of the first round that probably has a major league career ahead of him. Now, everybody talks about Major League Baseball, how first round of the draft is, you know, kind of a crapshoot, and that's really not as true as it used to be. There's no guarantee, obviously, you know, where versus the NBA, where the first round of the draft, pretty much every single one of those players is an NBA player immediately. With the MLB draft, it's a bit more of a gamble, I guess, but somebody put out some stats on the first round the last several years, and going back to 2011, which also might be one of the better drafts in Major League history, but still, first round picks, 75% of them are in the big leagues or had a big league career. So that tells you about where things are with that kind of thing. When you take a guy like Nico Hoerner, who has you know, high upside, a high floor, but maybe kind of a low ceiling, this is a guy that you can kind of bank on, minus injuries getting in the way, being in the big leagues in a few years, and being, you know, at the very least, maybe like a Tommy La Stella-esque utility infielder who can play a little bit of shortstop, but probably is better at second base or third base. That's all I've got for you for the first segment. Let's go ahead and go on to the second segment where I'll talk to Kelly Wallace. Joining me now on the second segment here is Kelly Wallace, who has done some work for Locked On Cubs, and you've heard her on this podcast before. And she's also got her own thing coming up that we'll talk about in the final segment. But before that, we wanted to answer some questions. So thanks for joining me, Kelly.
I'm glad to be back. I'm really excited to talk to some of our viewers. I bet they have some pretty good questions.
Oh, yes. You know how Twitter can be. First one, and I like to do this. I know probably everyone who's listened regularly knows this. When I do these, you know, question podcasts, I try to just like copy and paste the questions in and not like read them all the way through or think about them. So that way it can be really off the cuff. So I hope you didn't peek at these on Twitter, but
I did not.
All right, good. So William Chase asks, do you believe Montgomery ultimately sticks in the rotation, like a six-man rotation or long relief? What kind of moves will the Cubs make at the deadline? So that's kind of like a whole bunch of questions in one, but I'll field this to you first. Do you think Montgomery should stick in the rotation as a six-man rotation once everybody's healthy?
I don't think that it will end up happening, whether or not I think it's a good idea or not. I mean, it's hard to talk about because we don't really know what's going on with you. I mean, we don't really have a timetable yet on to like when he's coming back and when he's not. But I would say no on a six-man rotation. I'm going to say that Monty's great where he is, and I doubt that Darvish will be the last time that we have some guy drop out of the rotation. I think he's going to get a lot of starts this year.
Yeah, I do think that I would like Monty to stay in the rotation, just because I've been the wet blanket, the Debbie Downer on Tyler Chatwood since they signed him.
And, oh yeah, you've been very negative on Chatwood from the beginning.
Yeah, I've been very, I don't want to say anti-Chatwood, but just I didn't love that signing, especially as early as they did it. And I would even argue that if Theo Epstein and the Cubs front office knew how the rest of the offseason was going to play out, the way like contracts went and how nobody went, like everyone unsigned, I feel like they probably would not have signed Tyler Chatwood to that deal when they did. But that's beside the point. I'm just not a big Chatwood fan for what he gives you. And I've been really impressed by Montgomery in those two starts. I think he's gone out there and like his hair on fire on the mound, you know, like he's out there with a purpose, thinking like, I'm going to show them in every single opportunity that I get that I deserve to be here. And I think he's better than Tyler Chatwood as a fifth starter. So I would prefer that Montgomery stay. Now, will he? That's a good question. I don't know. I think there's like no way to split it where you can make a case that Tyler Chatwood has shown at any point that he's better than Mike Montgomery as a fifth starter. So I would be interested to see how they work that going forward once everyone's healthy, if they don't go with a six-man rotation.
I mean, I'm just saying that there is still depth available. There's still some free agents unsigned who could be real contributors as spot starters, potential sixth rotation guys, six-man rotation guys.
I feel like you're getting at something here.
I just feel like what I know is that John Lackey is available. And I personally, and I'm not, like, I know people on Twitter know that I joke around about John Lackey a lot, but I'm genuinely being serious when I say that I do think that he is a great addition as a spot starter bullpen guy, if that's a job he's willing to take for a lot of different teams. That's all.
I would love to see John Lackey sign a minor league deal with some team.
No, I didn't say that. I said for a major league team.
I would love to see contribute. Him go to AAA somewhere and ride the bus.
I will fly there and I will see his first start.
I would happily go into whatever clubhouse that is in AAA and be like, hey, John, you want to talk?
I'm sure he'd be thrilled.
Yeah, the answer would always be no. All right. So the second part of this question is, what kind of moves will the Cubs make at the deadline? I've held pretty steadfast on this, that I don't think they trade for a bat. I don't think that makes any sense for their roster. And I think the Cubs front office has put this team together with purpose. And this is the team that they're rolling with offensively. I don't think that they formed this core over the last several years and built it up to this point. You know, won a World Series, went to three straight NLCS. I don't think they got their offensive team to this point this year and said, okay, so like if everybody's healthy, we'll probably need to trade for a bat. That's not something they plan for. So I think offensively, as much as a lot of people want a Manny Machado or something like that, where they say, this team needs to trade for a bat. No, I would say that most likely if everybody's healthy, they probably need relief pitching. Even though the bullpen's been really good, I think they're going to burn everybody out at this rate. So relief pitching would be the one place I would add. What about you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do have to agree. As much as I want Machado, I think I have not been quiet about the fact that I would love to see Manny Machado on the Cubs. But I think the realistic answer is that relief pitching is going to be what we need the most, especially given the struggles with the rotation and how much we've been overusing the bullpen. I do think when it comes down to it, that's going to be the biggest need at the deadline. I know I read some meatball take on some blog about, again, this has been going on forever, but tying us to possibly pursuing Chris Archer. I think that makes no sense at all. I don't think we have anything close to what we would be not willing to give up what it would take to get him. And unless something goes seriously wrong with someone in the rotation, I really don't see any reason for us to be even looking at a starting pitcher.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's realistic either. I think that they have what they need in the rotation. They just need those guys to perform. You know, if Yu Darvish and Jose Quintana and Kyle Hendricks and John Lester all pitching like they can, I feel like that's as good a number, a 1-4 in a playoff rotation as you can get, especially when, you know, the major question coming in was with those four guys, how good John Lester was going to be. And he's shown you that he's still really good. The last year wasn't necessarily the beginning of a downward trend, and that he can still go out there and get outs. And yeah, that's the big thing for me is, you know, I know that Yu Darvish can pitch well once he's healthy. I know that Jose Quintana can be a really good starter. And we all know what Kyle Hendricks is. That's the guy you want out there for game one of a playoff series or game seven of a playoff series. So really, it's all about getting Yu Darvish and Jose Quintana right and back on track. And I feel like the rotation 1-4 is about as good as you could expect any team to have in the playoffs.
It's unbelievable. And I will say, I do think a lot of Cubs fans don't appreciate John Lester enough. I really think that guy is a workhorse. He does not, I don't think, gets enough credit for what he does and for what he is to this team. And yeah, I've been really, really happy watching him this year. I mean, it's apropos of nothing, but I just wanted to say, I really enjoy watching John Lester. I've always enjoyed watching John Lester, and I've always said he's an ace, and he's proving it again this year.
Yeah, I know the Cubs are pretty selective about like the numbers they retire and things like that, but I do feel like Lester's performance with the Cubs is bordering on like hanging number 34 on a foul pole territory.
I'm also very close to that point. Yeah. I think it's especially if there's another ring while he's here, I don't think you can deny it.
Yeah, I mean it's really, that's the big thing, is the fact that he's lived up to the expectation of that big contract. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he had the performance in the 2016 postseason was absolutely phenomenal. Everything that he's done for the Cubs since he got to Chicago, I don't see how you don't talk about him as one of the greatest pitchers in your franchise history, even though it's only been, what is this, like his fourth year with the team or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a very short period of time, but yeah. All right. Second question that we have comes from Patrick Mooney. Don't get excited. It's not that Patrick Mooney. It's a very different but awesome Patrick Mooney who listens to the podcast. And he said, can you find Eddie Butler for us? We don't know where he is.
I don't think I can do it now because I'm in my house, but I would like to.
Is he in your house?
He's not in my house. I don't know where Eddie Butler is, but I do know that Luke Farrell did a really good Eddie Butler impression.
Yeah, he did. And he's the one that first got called up when Eddie Butler went on the DL. So that's interesting enough.
He's, you know what? I mean, it's like the Spider-Man meme, but Luke Farrell and Eddie Butler.
Kind of like put a red beard on Luke Farrell.
This is a great visual joke for a podcast.
Right.
Sorry, everybody.
All right, everybody listening. Now imagine what Eddie Butler looked like. So I went back because I had completely forgotten. I'm not ashamed to admit I had no idea what Eddie Butler's ailment put him on the DL was.
It was a groin strain.
It was a groin strain.
I can tell you that because I remember that because I think it's funny. Continue.
I think a pulled groin is funnier than a groin strain. Like I pulled my groin. Anyway.
I just think the word groin is generally funny. I think it's great that baseball gives us the opportunity to pretend we can say it with a straight face quite often.
When I hear the word groin, I always think of man getting hit in the groin by football.
That's fair.
And the hilarious noise that the football makes in that clip, doink, it's perfect.
We'll post a media guide of all the references being made.
If anybody has no clue what I'm talking about, just Google man getting hit by football. So yeah, that's what Eddie Butler has going on. It's a groin strain. The Cubs talked about it as if it was like not a big deal at all when it happened, and I'm willing to bet that what's going on with Eddie Butler's disappearance to this point might be somewhat related to making sure he's 100%, and then also somewhat related to the fact that he's out of options, so when they bring him back they have to put him on the big league roster. I don't know how else to answer that question other than that.
But we do miss Eddie Butler, and I do wish that we had more maybe exact information to give you, Patrick Mooney, who isn't Patrick Mooney, but is also still an awesome Patrick Mooney.
Totally not that Patrick Mooney. Again, this is a podcast that you can't see me winking.
It's definitely, yeah.
All right, final question for this segment, and then we'll go on to talk about all of our exciting stuff you and I have going on.
Yay.
Big Cynical Ben, which is an awesome Twitter name, asks, is it worth sacrificing defense in the long term to acquire rental players to spur the offense going down the stretch and into the playoffs? I feel like we kind of burned
this
bridge.
What could he be referring to?
Yeah, I feel like we're burning this bridge to this question already because we already talked about how we don't think the Cubs are going to be acquiring an offensive player. If you're asking Big Cynical Ben about Manny Machado, I'm holding firm on the fact that I do not think he ends up in a Cubs uniform. I will do my humble brag and say that I went on the radio last weekend in, I think it was in Las Vegas, to talk to a radio show. And they asked me about Manny Machado and where I think he ends up. And I said either the Yankees or the Dodgers.
Boo! What? Boo, you're fired. No. Manny Machado, first of all, is going to be a Cub. That's going to be my firm opinion. I don't think he's going to be a Cub before the trade deadline, to be fair, as much as I like will spin that out in my head in a fantastical way on Twitter. But I actually do think he has a pretty good shot at being a Cub. That has nothing to do with the actual question, which I'm going to try to answer more generally and not just talk about Manny Machado. I think it depends regarding sacrificing long-term prospects that have a huge upside. I guess in this case, if we're referring to Addison, you're talking about his defense as he, you know, matures as a player. I mean, you know, it sort of reminds me of the ongoing conversation about, did we win, you know, is it okay that Glaber's mashing in New York right now? And did we lose the Quintana trade? You know, it's like, it depends on what you need and how realistic is it that addressing that need is going to actually pay off in the immediate future. And I think with Chapman, it did. I think with Quintana that it's worth, yes. And it hurts me to say this, but I don't think it makes sense to give up the farm for Manny Machado, whatever that may entail right now for the Orioles.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense either. Putting aside, I know a lot of people have very personal opinions about wanting Addison Russell off the roster. If you put that aside and just look at value, you know, basically the theory of rooting for the laundry, the name on the jersey is not the person in that theory. What he's doing right now is way below what Manny Machado does offensively. But as a shortstop, this is a guy who's going to be, he's on pace for like a 4-win season. And if you have a 4-WAR shortstop, that's doing really well. That's not a guy you necessarily just want to discard or say, well, this like 24-year-old or 23-year-old 4-WAR shortstop who has, you know, some offensive potential that he hasn't reached yet, we just want to give that away for a rental. That's not something that I think the Cubs would find wise. And so I don't think that's something they're willing to do. And I hope that answers the question in the way that it was being asked. I don't know for sure that Big Cynical Ben was asking about Russell and Machado, but that's kind of how I read into it as well.
Well, and I just generally, one more thing that I did want to say is I don't actually think it makes sense for us right now in almost any case in the way that it might have in the past 2 years, just because I feel like, and again, this is sort of how I felt when I was reading about us as potential suitors for Chris Archer. I feel like we're at the point right now where we do need to start rebuilding the farm system and stop giving everything up for these like big term, you know, these big deal, big name rental players. So I'm going to say that at the trade deadline, we'll probably be quiet and maybe focus on relief pitching. And I'm going to say, I don't think there's going to be a big rental for us this year.
Yeah. If there is a trade, I would think that the Cubs would be looking for that kind of like Chapman over the top piece where they already had a decent bullpen in 2016. If everyone remembers, Hector Rondon was doing really well as the closer. And then they made the trade that kind of surprised people for Chapman. I feel like that's the kind of trade that they would want. Maybe like an Andrew Miller type of trade is the one thing they might be looking to do. And they do already have one of the best bullpens in baseball, but a point that I've harped on quite a bit is that they had a really good bullpen in the first half or the first few months last year. And the same thing happened. The starters weren't going deep into games, whether it be building up high pitch counts or getting hit hard early or just Joe pulling guys after 5 or 6 innings pretty much every time. And the bullpen just got taxed. And that's what's happening right now. I mean, how many people are going to be bemoaning Steve Cishek getting hit hard in September when his arm's falling off? This is something where I feel like, you know, they've had some great guys come up from AAA who have really helped overall. And this is something I talked about on yesterday's podcast. The group, the core group of guys from AAA who have come up have done a fantastic job as a unit. And, you know, maybe that's what bridges that gap to help. Maybe Luke Farrell comes up and pitches, like, you know, that sixth, seventh inning role for like a couple of weeks while a guy like Cishek goes on the DL to rest his arm. Maybe that's how you figure that out, but they have to have a plan better than what they had last year to make sure that the bullpen is ready for the postseason. Because, I mean, just to think back to what the difference was between the Dodgers and the Cubs in the NLCS, it was the bullpen.
I don't want to.
It was absolutely the bullpen.
No, it absolutely was. And you know what? That's part of why I got so excited when we got Brandon Morrow, because I just loved watching him pitch for a long time. I watch a lot of Dodgers because I have a lot of Dodgers fan friends, even though they know that their opinion is wrong, or at least they know that I think their opinion is wrong. But I love Brandon Morrow. I loved him on the Dodgers. I loved watching him in the NLCS. And he was one of the people that made me think, like, wow, we don't have any guys who can go out there and throw like that right now. We just don't. And, you know, he was lights out for them all through the postseason. He pitched in what, every World Series game?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I'm a fan of Morrow as a pitcher. I remain cautiously optimistic because of his injury past. And I feel like if it just like popped up tomorrow that Brandon Morrow had an injury in his elbow or his shoulder and was going to miss the rest of the season, it would suck. But I would be like, well, should have expected that, because that's what he does every single year.
Yes. I mean, there obviously is that risk with him, but I do love him. And I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say he is not going to get seriously injured. I'm sure most of the bullpen will have DL stints at some point with how this has been going. But
well, if he does get hurt, everyone can throw tomatoes at me on that one.
It will be Ryan's fault. He jinxed it just now.
I definitely jinxed Tyler Chatwood when they signed him, and I said that this is kind of a big gamble because this guy can't command his pitches.
Well, you heard it here first. It's Ryan's fault that Tyler Chatwood walked so many batters.
It is. Maybe Chatwood should come talk to me about it.
He walked a pitcher twice only because of Ryan.
Yeah, I have all the fixes. All right, let's go to the final segment. So tell us about expanded roster. That's your big thing. I want to let you explain it in your own words.
Oh, God. Okay. So expanded roster is my new project. It's a new online baseball publication. Basically, what we want to do is we want to publish more modern take on baseball. We want to publish some journalism that a lot of other people aren't doing right now. We feel like there are a lot of stories and there are a lot of voices that aren't necessarily being heard or represented in sports media sort of as it is. It's sort of the same old guard of beat writers who are sort of deciding what the conversation is and what stories are presented. And there's a lot that's just going unnoticed, or, you know, important things that I see that I think people want to hear about. So that's what frustrated me, and that's why we decided to do it. We want to make baseball feel relevant to people again. I mean, every single person in this country could tell you who LeBron James is. I don't think that I think there are baseball fans who could not pick Mike Trout out of a lineup. I mean, it's absolutely insane how poorly Major League Baseball does at marketing their players and marketing their sport. So part of what we want to do also is we want to take a sort of player-focused approach and an approach based on sort of getting people emotionally invested in baseball and emotionally invested in players in a way that makes baseball feel like it's relevant to their life and like it's appointment viewing. And so that's something that's really important to us. So those are just some, you know, some fun things and reasons that this started. I can tell you more specific things if you have any questions or anything like that, but...
Well, yeah, I was going to say that this is something that you and I had talked about before this even came up, came about.
Yes, where, just a little bit.
Yeah, where we talked about how the agency of baseball media behind the scenes is so antiquated, and there are a lot of expectations placed on people who are journalists or writers, podcasters, whatever you are, where you have to jump through a lot of these kind of hoops that don't seem necessary, and they are it's like gatekeeping. It's a way to keep people without I don't want to be too specific here, but without a certain background educationally or, you know, different like alternative media, it's a way to keep them out. Where a lot of teams don't appreciate online media. They don't want to recognize online media as like official media outlets that should have access to players or, you know, be able to interview people. So,
which is insane. I mean, yeah. Like, I just want to say that that's absolutely insane. I mean, I understand that a lot of baseball and that a lot of teams and by extension, a lot of the machines around those teams are run by maybe people who are older or people who maybe don't have the most modern view of what media looks like now. Everything is online. I mean, everything is online. Media is online. Most people read the news online. Most people get their information and get their stories and find things out by going on the internet. So by saying that something is lesser than or less relevant or less prestigious because it's an online only outlet sort of belies a complete misunderstanding of where media is going and what direction the news is taking. And I think that by doing that, you leave a lot of fans on the table, you leave a lot of money on the table, you leave a lot of interest on the table, you leave a lot of casual people who would otherwise love to read more stories or people who might not, I don't know, people who might not read the beat writers in the Tribune. I mean, there's so much being lost by not embracing what online media has become.
Yeah, sorry,
that's my rant. I get very angry about this, but I believe very strongly in the value of the internet and of online media and of Twitter and of social media. I'm a huge advocate. I know we all make fun of it and it can be horrible sometimes, but I'm very pro all of those things. And I think teams and players and organizations and brands and everyone else should embrace it.
Well, yeah, and I can give examples of this that I think listeners would appreciate. And that's, you know, I'm someone who has been media credentialed. I've been in the clubhouse at Wrigley Field, even just this year, a handful of times. Last year, a bunch of times in the postseason, I've been down to Busch Stadium. I've gone to spring training parks and all that. So I'm a person who, you know, from this standpoint, eventually worked his way to be able to push past the gatekeeping to get in just a little bit. But for an example, I can't go in there and, you know, talk to a player, do an interview with my little recorder that I can plug into my computer and drag MP3s. I can't bring that on to my podcast because they don't want to recognize or media credential a podcast. They only want to do, you know, basically print media for the most part. You know, some online company like ESPN, Sporting News, The Athletic, those can get in just about anywhere. But Locked On Cubs. I can't go, or shouldn't be able to go. I know some people might do this, but I can't go into the locker room at Wrigley Field or the clubhouse and do an interview with Kyle Hendricks and then come and drop MP3s from that onto the podcast. I know that's something that I'm sure the listeners would like, and I'd like to be able to do that, but that's not something that Major League Baseball in general would allow. So that's a good example of, you know, a lot of people listen to podcasts. This podcast has been growing. I'd love to be able to push it further and take it to next steps. And I feel like that could help, but that's a barrier. That's keeping, you know, less traditional forms of media out where, you know, a lot of people believe that podcasts and video are a very big portion of the future of this industry.
Yeah, and I will say that this can be the official announcement of this, I guess. We are going to be doing a podcast for Expanded Roster. We will have more details on that in the coming weeks. But that is something that we are planning on doing. I love listening to podcasts. I think they're great. I think it's a great medium. I do think it's much more the future. And I wish that more teams would embrace it, because I feel like this is where fans hang out and talk and figure out what's going on and hear about all their favorite teams. And how great would it be if people who put together programs like that could have even a tenth of the access that someone writing for a newspaper has?
Right. Why don't you go ahead, if you can, tell us any of the people who have committed to be writing at the site, in case this might be like names that people would recognize.
Sure. There are a lot of things that I'm not going to announce yet, just because we've timed out a lot of things with our crowdfunding campaign that we want to announce sort of as time goes on. But I will tell you that we are stealing Brittany De La Cretas, who will be writing an amazing column for us that I'm going to let her talk about what it is and reveal what it is. But she'll be actually a contributor who will be doing a regular column for us that I'm really excited about. We also have Stacey Mae Fowles from The Athletic, the prestigious. She covers the Jays. She is going to be doing a really, really cool baseball life advice column for us. So we'll be taking submissions for questions for that actually starting really soon. So she can go ahead and get a jump on that, and that'll come out on our launch, her very first edition of that. So
very cool stuff. And I actually talked to Brittany briefly about what she's going to be doing, and I can attest that's going to be really cool. So
it's pretty awesome.
I will do my own sort of thing. I teased this on yesterday's podcast, but I have my own site that I've been doing, putting together, that is, small time compared to what you guys are up to, but it's called the Cloud City Chronicle, which is like Star Wars and Marvel and other kind of nerdy stuff that I'm really interested in. I know there's a really big following for that kind of stuff, and I've been putting together a lot of really cool stuff with it. And I've got one podcast that I'm looking to revive, and another podcast that I'm talking to some people about that's really Star Wars related. And I do my own writing there. I've got other people who like started messaging me and saying, hey, do you want like someone who could do this, and stuff that's not necessarily my forte, which would help a lot. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, go follow Cloud City Cron on Twitter. That's where I'm going to be putting all this stuff, and I'll have some cool giveaways that I'm going to be doing. So
something that I'm
pretty excited about, and I'm hoping to try and take my own thing to the next level, because this is a lot more passionate for me than I think baseball is, because baseball media really wears you down emotionally when you're in it. I've only been doing it for a few years, but it really like beats you down with all the things we talked about, where it's just difficult.
Look forward to the podcast on expanded roster in 2 years, where I sound like Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. When you're completely beaten down and destroyed by this industry. Hopefully that doesn't happen to you.
But no, you should definitely check out Ryan's website. He actually has good takes on Star Wars and on a lot of nerd stuff, which is super rare, because a lot of the hot takes on Marvel and on Star Wars and on the whole general nerd universe genre can be pretty bad and pretty brutal. But this is actually great writing and a really interesting perspective, so I highly recommend it.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to hate The Last Jedi just the exact right amount. like not too much, but still the right amount.
Oh, crap. I didn't say our stuff. Okay, so if you do want to check out Expanded Roster, I have to get a lot better about actually promoting this. I'm new to this.
Tell us here we go.
You can follow us on Twitter. It's just at Expanded Roster, spelled the usual way. You can also find us on Instagram there. If you don't follow me on Twitter, what are you doing? But you can also follow me, Kelly A. Wallace. I'll be posting a lot of updates as we go along. And on all those places, you can find a link to our Kickstarter campaign, which please give us money. We need money so much. And we have really cool rewards that we can give you for it. You can even, I'm not kidding, come see a baseball game with me and Amanda. And we will be just as deeply fun and inappropriate as we have ever been. So check that out, and maybe you'll get to come to Wrigley with me.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. You'll have to give me details on that.
I mean, it's quite expensive. We're really good dates, but
well, I mean,
it would be the night of your life, and we would cover it and do a whole article about the evening on our website. So
well, yeah,
check that
out. I'm probably going to have to figure out how to be there. I'll make sure Kelly sends me along the link to that Kickstarter so that I can put that in the description for you guys.
I will credential Ryan to cover this whole thing. I promise there's no gatekeeping. Ryan will be allowed access.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been episode 83 of Locked on Cubs. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Q. Davis, or the podcast you can find at Locked on Cubs. You can also email us any questions or comments at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. I will talk to you guys again tomorrow after the Cubs take on the Phillies.